Paging Dr. Susie. This is an emergency. You're required in the studio.
Welcome James Reed, who is a specialist GP in nutritional and environmental medicine. Now, being a holistic practitioner, what's unique about your approach to healthcare?
Yeah, so the unique approach that I have to healthcare is really looking at healthcare from a more holistic perspective. So unfortunately, modern Western medicine just focuses on treating symptoms and or conditions primarily with drugs rather than actually addressing the underlying cause of the illness. And most modern disease is caused by a combination of different factors, particularly that relate to lifestyle. So those lifestyle-related factors include diet, which has a huge impact on people's health and well-being, exercise, the quality of their sleep, physical activity beyond exercise, and social and emotional well-being. So how are we maintaining our stress? Do we have balance in our life, our relationships, all those sorts of things? And in most conditions of modern society, there are elements of these that are affected, there are elements of these that are implicated in some aspects of the illness. So even something that people would think would be a very physical illness like breast cancer, we know that the rate of breast cancer growth can be affected by exercise or affected by diet. We know of people in a support group that they can live longer. We know that they have a psychological condition. Who's going to take care of my children if something happens to me? So really it's about peeling the layers of the onion off and examining someone's diet and lifestyle and seeing how we can do things to modify those to fix things without necessarily using drugs. Now, there's nothing wrong with using drugs when necessary, but often if we address the underlying condition, that's not required. And we tend to get better results. If you fix one problem from a nutritional point of view, you don't just say address irritable bowel syndrome. You may help someone to lose weight at the same time. You may improve a child's constipation at the same time as improving their attention deficit disorder or improving their sinusitis. So look, we look at all sorts of different conditions. We look at many of the common conditions that affect people on a day-to-day basis. Gut issues, constipation, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic fatigue-related issues, people just being tired the whole time, allergies, ear, nose and throat problems, mood problems and so on, and looking at how we can address things more holistically to deal with these. A zinc supplement, for example, might be a key to someone's depression. So it's really taking a food out of a child's diet might improve their sinusitis and their bedwetting at night. So it's really about looking more holistically at how we can address complicated issues, looking at the underlying cause.
Many of our patients lead lifestyles that require a detox every now and then. What sort of detoxification programs do you offer patients?
With any nutritional supplementation and detoxification, we look at the diet first. But not everybody's ready to make changes with those things, or sometimes people, in spite of changing their diet, struggle to get enough nutrients. So we offer things that can help bypass the need to get things just from food. So we offer intravenous nutrients. Many people will find, yes, they're trying to get more B vitamins from their diet, but if you give them a B dose vitamin of multiple B vitamins in one shot, then suddenly they have a huge improvement in energy. Many people have things like migraine or sleep disturbance and so on, and they don't realize, or tight muscles and cramps, and they don't realize they're low in magnesium. They would struggle to get enough magnesium from supplements orally or from their diet, and you give them an intravenous magnesium infusion, and then suddenly they're sleeping better, their migraines have gone away, their muscles are more relaxed, their tight neck and headaches and tension headaches have improved. So we offer intravenous magnesium, we offer intravenous vitamin C, which can work fantastically for people with immune issues, particularly with acute infections. If people have viral infections, intravenous vitamin C infusions can be fantastic for suddenly in improving their immune system and helping to eradicate viral infections. And they may even have a role in some cancer patients. We also offer detoxification support, and lots of people look at detox diets and so on. Those sorts of things are very useful, but intravenously we can support detoxification pathways. In the simplest point of view, this can be anything from someone comes in with a horrible hangover and we can make them feel better with intravenous fluids and intravenous B vitamins and intravenous magnesium, things that might help with their nausea, but also things that protect the liver in particular. So both orally from herbs and from nutrients, but intravenously we can give things that actually protect the liver from liver damage and so on. So there's and some of these things also have anti-aging properties as well. So anti-aging properties associated with things like glutathione. A lot of people in Asia use glutathione for improving the quality of their skin and so on, because it's a powerful antioxidant. So some of these things will also have anti-aging properties as well.
Skin often reflects a lot of our lifestyle. How do you take a nutritional approach to improving skin?
So the nutritional approach to improving skin is individualized. So there are some things we know that will help many people across the board. So for example, zinc is really important in skin health, and zinc can improve acne, and it can improve skin rashes and dermatitis. Can improve people having weak nails, and hair loss will improve with skin and so on, or with zinc and so on. However, a lot of the things that relate to people's skin can relate to how much good oils they have in their diet. So many people have very dry skin, and very dry skin often will improve with things like fish oil and increasing the good oils in their diet. Evening primrose oil, incidentally, might improve someone's premenstrual syndrome. And then finally, it's about looking at the right diet for someone. So I've seen people who have food intolerance and get eczema and psoriasis or acne, and suddenly you take them off dairy, and the next thing you know, their food intolerance is improved and their skin gets better. So sometimes it's about looking for individual food intolerances, but often there's sort of programs of nutrients that can help improve the quality of people's skin.
Gut problems are rife in the community, and I know that a lot of our patients, particularly who come to collective care, have gut issues like bloating and abdominal discomfort. How does your approach to gut problems differ from a conventional family doctor's?
Well, most general practitioners default to drugs, and the one sort of dietary modification they tend to do, or they might get from a dietitian, is what we call a low FODMAP diet, which is really taking away foods that are fermentable, and when they ferment, they form gas. It's a bit like someone brewing beer, and that makes someone bloated. And that will help many people with irritable bowel syndrome. But it doesn't address the underlying cause of why are these people fermenting too much. Is there a gut bacterial imbalance in the first place? Do they have an overgrowth of bacteria in their gut that shouldn't be there that can be addressed? Is there an overgrowth of yeast or candida in their gut that can be treated? And also diet modification. We know that too much sugar will promote the wrong bacteria, will also feed yeast, and that's treatable, and then you can reverse the condition forever. Some people, it's a food intolerance, and we can test that by a trial of elimination and challenge diet, but there's also food intolerance testing that we can offer people, where we can test for over 100 different foods and see, are you reacting to this food? And it's like a needle in a haystack sometimes, where you can actually find that needle in the haystack very quickly by doing those food tests. Likewise, many people have poor digestive processes, and part of that can be related to lifestyle and stress. If you're rushing through a fast food place and eating your dinner or your lunch on your desk or in the car, then your digestion's not really optimal. But beyond that, sometimes digestive processes get permanently altered by nutritional factors, and we can support digestion by measuring what's going on in someone's bowel and actually treating the underlying condition, supporting digestion with enzymes, supporting digestion with things like apple cider vinegar or ginger, a variety of different things that might improve the quality of someone's digestion so that the food intolerances disappear over time as their digestion improves.
There is a lot of fatigue out there, and I know that fatigue is one of your areas of specialty. How do we actually define what is chronic fatigue syndrome these days when there is so much fatigue?
Look, chronic fatigue syndrome is a very complex disorder, often related to chronic low-grade inflammation. And that can be from infection, from gut bacterial imbalance, from autoimmune disease, from food intolerance, from nutritional deficiency. So really it's about peeling the layers of the onion off. But really that's the end of a spectrum that is sort of the severe end of the spectrum. You know, those people are like the canaries in the coal mine of our modern lifestyle. And most people walk around with a degree of fatigue on a day-to-day basis that we just accept as normal. You know, I need a couple of, you know, 3, 4, 5 coffees to get me through the day and so on, and or an energy drink or a sugar hit and so on, and not realizing that actually there are factors that contribute to that we can reverse. You might find someone has a gluten intolerance, and you take, and when they have gluten, it turns into a morphine-like substance, and that actually makes them fatigued. They might have undiagnosed sleep apnea that might be doing this. They might have a B vitamin deficiency. So what we do is we look at the individual and find what those situations are, those contributing factors that are contributing to their fatigue. It may be that they're sort of on a sugar addiction hit, but then we put them on a more stabilizing sugar diet and they lose weight, and at the same time their energy goes through the roof. It may be that they're stressed out the whole time and we can help them with a supplement that might help their stress, or adrenal support, you know, this adrenal burnout phenomena that may help. And then point them in the touch of someone who may help them to stress manage, to meditate, those to do Pilates, to do yoga, to help manage the stress that's contributing to their fatigue and poor sleep. So once again, it's a holistic approach, looking for the individual factors that are contributing to someone's fatigue, but looking forward much more comprehensively than the standard basic blood test the average, very competent general practitioner would do.
Lyme disease is a really big topic at the moment as it's becoming increasingly more recognised. I know that one of your special interests is actually Lyme disease, which is quite extraordinary because I don't know very many practitioners who specialise in Lyme disease. Most people can't find out much about it. Can you tell me a little bit more about what actually is Lyme disease or Lyme-like illness?
Yeah, so look, I think probably Lyme-like illness or tick-borne or insect-borne illness is probably a better name for it in Australia, because we may not have the actual bacteria that causes Lyme here, but it's a very similar infection that people do appear to acquire here. And it's an incredibly debilitating illness that can really steal a young person or any person's life away from them. The Senate committee, it's such a profound illness that there's been a Senate inquiry into this matter, sort of investigating it, because it's not generally recognised by the wider medical community, nor the infectious diseases specialist who would normally be considered the people to treat an infectious disease. But the Senate committee unequivocally found that we have an illness here that is Lyme-like, that is probably caused by similar bacteria and be contributed to by other bacteria. And this is an infection or group of infections that can cause severe debilitating fatigue, severe pain, joint pain, muscle pain, burning pain, shooting pain, brain fog where people just can't think clearly anymore. Sleep disturbance where their body clock cycle gets reversed. It can affect people's heart and affect their blood pressure and cause their heart rates to become very unstable. So it has a wide array of symptoms, particularly related to pain and fatigue and poor cognitive function and nerve function, that really can take a person who is very highly functional and really steal that life away from them. But these conditions are treatable. The answers to them are complex. They're not just about antibiotics. They're really about supporting the person as a whole, including looking at their detoxification, their nutrition, their gut function, as well as their immune function, and in many cases, things that can help to kill the bacteria themselves. And they can be anything from drugs to herbs to some people fly overseas to get specialist treatment with things like hyperthermia, where they heat them up. Okay. And this can be sort of quite a radical treatment, but it can be life transforming for some people.
About yourself now, James. What's your personal philosophy in medicine?
Look, it's hard to think of an individual one. I think my philosophy to medicine really is that everybody counts, and you can, little things can make a big difference for some people, and sometimes you don't know what the piece of the puzzle is, and it can be quite simple and you can transform someone's life. There's a condition that's very poorly understood in healthcare, called pyrrole disorder, and not really widely acknowledged by the medical profession, but it's a condition that causes people's zinc and vitamin B6 to not work properly. And when you see someone with a condition who may have severe anxiety and depression and fatigue or attention deficit, and with 6 weeks of nutrient supplementation, the next thing you know that this person's mood is transformed. And that can make a huge difference. I've seen children with severe anxiety and sort of other health problems, including bedwetting, where you take them off dairy alone and their anxiety goes away, and the next thing you know, they're doing plays at school. And you see the transformation of that kid and these children, particularly kids. I think if you can make a difference to a child and pick up something that's affecting their learning or behaviour, which would be crippling in terms socially, and then suddenly they get better, it's really rewarding. And I consider doing those things. I do anaesthetics as a doctor in the bush and do emergency medicine, and I see these as the long-term equivalent sort of to the, you know, you put an epidural in a woman in severe pain, and you take someone from an out-of-control situation to suddenly sort of feeling comfortable and being able to have a rest and then gather energy to have her beautiful baby. And you see how that transforms her experience. That kind of transformation you can see with nutrient, with taking food out of people's diet or supporting someone with a nutrient that can, you know, like zinc and B6 for someone with a pyrrole, and suddenly a kid who couldn't read can read again and their self-esteem improves and you break a vicious circle. So those sorts of things, particularly with children with things like attention deficit or food intolerances and anxiety and depression, you know, I think it's incredibly rewarding because it's a lifetime. It's great for the parents, you know, or even a mum who's a great mum who's at the end of a tether with a baby with a colic, and it's food related, and you find the food, and the next thing you know, bub's sleeping and mum's sleeping. That's incredibly rewarding as well.
What made you choose the pathway of nutritional and environmental medicine?
Look, it was a gradual thing. I was really interested in after travelling in South America. I took a year off university before my final year, and I travelled in Latin America and got very interested in developing world health and public health. And that took me to the Northern Territory to work for 6 years, and I worked a lot with Aboriginal people and Indigenous communities. And nutrition was such a major thing up there that it became essential to look at and consider diet and nutrition. And the paediatricians were giving zinc and vitamin A to children with severe chronic diarrhoea or who had underweight, and that was making, because they'd worked in Africa and this work there, and it was making a difference. So that made me become more aware of, one, we have to be holistic and look at the person in the context of their community and their family, but also the importance of nutrition and lifestyle, where we saw such major lifestyle diseases in sort of the impoverished Indigenous communities. And then after that, returning to the East Coast to work, it really was about just having people being open-minded and having people come in and saying, look, I've got a hormone imbalance and I read this book about natural hormone management and it really seems to resonate with me. And I read the book and started exploring some of those things, that natural hormone management and
bioidentical hormones
and realizing, well, there was a lot more to hormones than I was taught at medical school. Mm. But part of it was actually learning to listen to patients, learning that sometimes you can learn a lot more from patients than you can from textbooks. And so I'm always happy for patients to come in and suggest things. And, you know, look, we do need to look at the science behind it and so on. But there's so much science that's readily available through good sources, through scientific sources that do support a much more nutritional and integrative approach. So I actually find, you know, my journey has really been guided by the patients I've seen, and I continue to learn on a daily basis from patients who say, look at this paper or look at this and could we look at this and so on. So really, modern healthcare, rather than the doctors just dictating to the patient what should happen, really should be what we call patient-centered or patient-focused healthcare, where I say the patient's the captain and I'm the navigator. So they're making the decisions, but I'm helping them to guide them, their decision-making.
You've been listening to the Dr. Susie podcast. Subscribe, download and review at Apple Podcasts, Audioboom, Stitcher, Podbean or your favourite podcasting app. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. This has been another quality podcast from Bytes.com.